as a church. Blessed with those who serve. Blessed with those who pray. Blessed with those who worship. Blessed with those who just come. We are so blessed. And I am so blessed to be part of such a wonderful church as you are as well. I was thinking when I was back there, you know, normally when we have Fifth Sunday, we would be downstairs around tables. And in fact, I suggested tables today and I was vetoed. Next time. But here's the thing, God, we've been growing. And today we wouldn't have been able to get everyone downstairs. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I'm going to invite our candidates, Arhan, Seb, and Leah, to make their way to get themselves ready in a few minutes to be baptized. And you can meet Sue at the back, and she'll give you instructions there. And as they're getting themselves ready, as we're preparing to celebrate with these young men and women as they take their next step of faith, I want to share with you a bit of a testimony. You may be here today, and you're here, and you're witnessing family take this step of faith, and you're wondering, what on earth is all this about? Why? You may be here, and perhaps your church tradition, you were baptized as a child, or you're used to that being done. We do not baptize infants in our church, but we baptize all those who know Jesus Christ and have professed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So why do we do this? It was when I was 10 years old, many of you have heard my story of how I came to Christ at the end of an evangelistic service in my home church in Toronto. And as I came forward and the evangelist led me in a prayer to receive Christ, I knew at that moment, I knew that Jesus was my Savior. He had forgiven me of my sins. I was going to heaven and I wanted to serve Him my whole life. I had grown up in church. I had been raised in Sunday school. I knew all the verses, but there came that moment when I personally received Christ as my Lord and Savior. It was 2 years later that I announced to my parents, didn't ask, I just announced it, I'm getting baptized. And they were from they were from a church tradition that said, no, you can't be baptized until you're a certain age. And I went to them, I talked to my pastor, and I said, I know Jesus is my Savior, and I want to follow Him. Jesus got baptized, so I want to be like Jesus. If He got baptized, I am going to be baptized. And from that moment, after taking that step of faith, God has just done incredible works in my life. And if you're wondering why we are here today, well, let me just read to you a quick passage of scripture and just do some very brief teaching this morning. But in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. How many are so glad we don't have locusts and wild honey for breakfast this morning? Thank you, Colleen and team. And this was his message in verse 7. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Matthew's gospel includes the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 9, at that time, Jesus came. Jesus, the Son of God. Sinless, perfect. And he's coming to John, his cousin. Why? At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the river, he saw heaven being opened, torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Why are we doing this morning? And if you haven't already considered being baptized, I pray that this will be your consideration of obedience and your next step of faith in Jesus. But in order to understand the reason for water baptism, it's important to carefully consider what the Bible says about it. Jesus himself was baptized. Though he committed no sin, yet he humbled himself in obedience to, number one, identify with us, and number two, give us an example to follow. As we read in verse 9, at that time Jesus came and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Water baptism is an act of faith and obedience to the command of Christ. That is what these candidates are doing today. That is what I did when I was 12 years old. That's what many of you also have done. It's not a rite or a ritual. It's not a tradition. It is an ordinance and command that Jesus has given all those who claim to be followers of Messiah. It's a commandment from Jesus himself, and it's the principal reason why water baptism remains so important for us today. And since Jesus left a final command for us to be baptized as his disciples, we also are called to baptize others who are disciples and followers of Jesus. As we read in John 14, "If you love me, keep my commands." And Matthew 28, 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." And we read throughout the early church how the apostles and the early church made sure to keep this ordinance of water baptism. In Acts chapter 2, we read that on the day of Pentecost, following Peter's sermon, that 3,000 men alone, perhaps even way more, including the women, children, and young people, expressed faith in Jesus, and that number was baptized that day. In Acts 8, 5 to 13, when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Acts chapter 9, verse 18, he got up, that is the Ethiopian eunuch who had just received Christ. He got up and was baptized right then and there. And then there was a jailer, a heathen Roman idol worshiping man, who upon seeing the power of God at display in Peter's life, he called out to God, "What must I do to be saved?" And the apostle led him and his family to faith in Christ. And we read that he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. In Acts 16, verses 13 to 15, we read of the home of Timothy, his mother being the first convert in Corinth, saying that she and the members of her household were baptized. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved in your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. Acts 18, verse 8, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. Here is a religious priest, a religious leader, who realized he couldn't make it on his own knowledge, on his own wit and genius, on his own good works. And he himself repented, turned from his sin, and turned around to Jesus, receiving him as his Savior, and as a testimony was baptized. Baptism is a God-ordained symbolic expression of our heart's love and desire to follow God's word. We do not save ourselves. Baptism does not save us. There's nothing in these waters that has any kind of salvific properties, but it is a testimony. As we walk in obedience to his command, we are making a public declaration. Baptism declares that, yes, you are a follower of Jesus. It's a public confession of your faith in and commitment to Jesus Christ. It's the next step of your walk of faith. Water baptism is the practical demonstration of the spiritual reality that has already taken place. For example, in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." As the candidates come, Pastor Sue is going to introduce each one and ask them a couple questions about their walk of faith. And then we'll invite them to step into the waters, and probably best to either kneel or to sit. And we will totally immerse them. And as we do, these two things are being demonstrated. As they go down into the water, it's the testimony that they have died to sin. And as they come up out of the water, they're giving testimony that they are now living a new life of resurrection power in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, I'm going to turn it over to Sue, who's going to introduce our first candidate.